Welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Counselor Audio Source is a weekly podcast dedicated to the professional enhancement of practicing counselors, supervisors, and counselor educators. Look for us on the web at CounselorAudioSource.net. I'm Dr. Marty Gentius from Kent State University, your host for CounselorAudioSource.net. And this week, Dr. Verna Oliva Fleming speaks with CAS contributing editor Adina Renfro-Michelle, both from Montclair State University, about her work integrating nutrition and exercise into school counseling.
Dr. Oliva Fleming, welcome to CounselorAudioSource.net. Well, thank you. We're going to talk today about integrating exercise and nutrition into counseling practice. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk broadly a little bit about your theoretical background of wellness counseling and how you became a wellness counselor.
Yeah, when I first graduated from my mental health master's and was going through supervision for licensure, my advisor was a true behaviorist. And I was grateful to have very good supervision and being able to understand and putting into practice what your theoretical background was. And so what I started to look at is what my clients needed, one, to get better and to indicate good client outcome. And another one was, how did I feel personally that I maintained myself as healthy? And so I started to read a lot about wellness counseling, and with my background as an athlete, I felt that what made me a healthy individual was that balance between your physical state, your emotional state, and your spiritual state. And so my goal throughout supervision was to be able to balance all those things. And we had wellness goals, and she was able to, in a very behaviorist way, able to create that. And I think that we both learned from the process of that. As I went through small private practice, my second thought was, okay, this is how I feel that I maintain myself as healthy. But ethically, can I introduce that into the counseling session? Does every client fit that? And so I think I went a lot back and forth between my own theoretical background and how it helped my clients. And I did some research in how to incorporate exercise into the counseling session. But my focus has always been, what is the role of the counselor in being able to balance ethical guidelines and also be a professional, a good counselor, be able to see that your clients are getting better. And so I think that just being direct with clients as to first what my theoretical background is and then see if it fits with them, and being able to be flexible enough to incorporate other theories and other techniques into the counseling session. So that's kind of how I got started. But I think that, as you know, as a counselor, it's ever developing your theoretical background. And depending on where you are developmentally and where your life is taking you, it changes.
Absolutely. What are some of the ethical considerations when working with clients and integrating the exercise and nutrition into their counseling?
Yeah, what I thought was important, and this came into play more as I was balancing my role as a school counselor, and really staying focused as to what your role is as a counselor, period, and not to go on to other roles that just you may not be prepared for professionally. Just like when I say, we're introducing exercise in the counseling session, it's not really the counselor exercising with the client, but being able to create that as part of their treatment plan. And so that's something that I define with my clients as to what is wellness to them. And what is wellness to you or to I is going to be completely different. And there's no right or there's no wrong. But as you implement your wellness goals, being true to your profession and your counselor. For the most part, you have 5 to 60 minutes with your clients. And if you're going to not be sure about what your role is, then I feel you're being unethical. It's a disservice to your client. And so being able to really stay focused as to, this is my role as a counselor, which is a school counselor, that itself can be difficult, because sometimes not knowing your role as a counselor is particularly difficult in the school system, just because no one else knows what your role is either. And so being able to determine that first, and I felt that I worked a lot in my beginning years as to, okay, what exactly is my role? Now that I know my role is, okay, how do I stay there? And so, ethically speaking, if I'm introducing nutrition and exercise into the counseling session, how can I do that with the role of a counselor? And I think that, yes, you can do that through psychoeducation, but that the best approach is to be able to work and collaborate with other professions.
Once you have defined your role as a counselor and understood that you're working within your ethical guidelines, mm-hmm. you branched out to other professionals.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, it started as usual at dinner with some good friends. One of my best friends is a nutritionist. And so we talked about, okay, how can we work together? And so while I worked in private practice, and as a school counselor, probably like 3 days a week, I had a really small private practice. And so we started out small, which is good. What I would do with the client is have them first define what wellness was to them, work together as creating what their wellness goals was. And let's just say, for example, that their wellness goal was to exercise more. Define exercise too. Is aerobic, anaerobic? I won't go into details of that. But at some point, my role as a counselor went beyond what their own goals of wellness was. And so that's when I collaborated with my friend who was a nutritionist. I referred them to her, and they would work their own goals out in nutrition. And so if exercise was one of those goals, which it doesn't necessarily have to be, because we also have the spiritual side, there's so many facets of wellness that exercise and nutrition isn't always a goal of the client. But if it was, then if it was an exercise goal, being able to go to a yoga class or be able to become a member of a gym. And the first step, I should go back a little bit, is that if it's exercise and nutrition, they have to see a medical doctor and get some type of physical release from there. So talking about ethical guidelines, that is one that we should follow always, you know, being able to, what am I saying?
To refer and make sure that they're healthy before they start
right.
the exercise program.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not that as a counselor you advise your clients on exercise and nutrition. It's
right.
that more like you support them in their endeavors to include
exactly.
that in their counseling.
Exactly. And a lot of times, if you're working with an individual in individual counseling, they may decide that, yeah, they want to start exercising or they want to change their eating habits or, you know, any of those things. And so being able to be their support, because if they're making those changes, those are huge changes for anyone, then are they getting the support at home? Are they getting support in their work environment? Then the behaviors comes into play. What is their environment like? What's the likelihood that their goals are going to be reachable in the environment that they are presently? And so working through all of that. But yeah, being your main goal as a counselor is to focus on being that support system and having them talk about how difficult it is to start an exercise program and what are the negative thoughts that they're having and how can we move those negative thoughts into more positive thoughts and working towards that. Also, I think that once they go through those changes, making sure that they're realistic goals, that they're not losing motivation because of their goals at the beginning were just too big to accomplish. And so for the most part, as I create a wellness plan with my clients and now with my students, is having, you know, two short-term goals and one long-term goal so they feel motivated and they continue to work towards that.
What would be an example of an appropriate exercise goal?
Yeah, I think that for the most part, it's individuals that want to begin an exercise program. And so I'm going to brainstorm three ways that I can start exercising. They themselves will first define what types of exercise they feel that they can accomplish and or doable. Then as a goal, when do you think that you can exercise? You know, what time of the day? What's going to be the method? And then if it's nutrition, then one of the things that I think is part of my role is to be able to give them literature. And so not only are they, maybe am I collaborating with a nutritionist, but I am able to give them some type of literature as to the effects that nutrition has on our emotional state. And there's tons and tons of research now that indicates that our nutrition has a lot to do with the way that we feel about ourselves. And sometimes, you know, the way that food interacts into who we are. And so I think that in the last year, my own development and wellness has been now focused more on nutrition and obesity within children, especially the role of the school counselor. And I feel that as a school counselor, you're probably going to be able to have a greater impact in child obesity than in any other profession.
Absolutely, because they're on the front lines with the children.
Exactly, yeah. And there's, you know, there's so much that you can do and also stay within your own ethical guidelines. That's what your role as a school counselor is. There's a lot that you can do staying in those boundaries.
What are some examples of things that school counselors can do to add nutrition into their curriculum?
Yeah. As you know, as a school counselor, one of your biggest roles is that you are a liaison between the students, the teachers, the community, and the families. And so you can probably target all of those different groups. What I've done a lot is work with families and have workshops throughout the school. And that of itself has been growing, just because you have to be aware of not everybody wants to say, oh, yeah, I have a problem with obesity. And so making it a positive thing, looking at it as being proactive and preventive more than singling anybody out. And I think that the more people that you have on your side and you're collaborating with, the more the chances you're going to have to you know, make an impact. And so being able to talk with the staff at school and let them know some of the things that you know about research and how it's affecting children. And there's so much research out there now. But what's happening is that it's in the medical world. And so a lot of times as a counselor, we don't feel that our role is part of that, that it should go to another type of profession, when indeed it shouldn't.
So we should definitely incorporate nutrition, especially school counselors, into what we're doing to prevent obesity in children. Mm-hmm. And you're right, there tends to be this line there, this is our stuff, this is medical stuff. And what you're saying is there really shouldn't be that line.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that a lot of times school counselors feel that maybe it's not their role because they don't know enough about it. But they don't actually need to know about nutrition to know that nutrition is impacting the way that our children are behaving. I mean, if you have a child that is obese, we're going to have self-esteem issues. You know, they could be a target for bullying. There's so many different aspects, emotional aspects, that we can focus on without even going into the aspect of what should we eat, what should we not eat. Just looking at what is behaviorally, emotionally, what type of impact is it having on our students, and going from there.
I understand that it's not imperative for school counselors to understand the specific aspects of nutrition when working with students. Mm-hmm. There probably are a lot of school counselors out there that would like to integrate nutrition into their counseling and have some background knowledge to be able to feel somewhat of an expert at that. What do school counselors need to do, or where can they go to get the information they need about nutrition so that they can then mm-hmm. pass this information on to their clients and their clients' parents?
Yeah, going back into what, you know, your role as a school counselor is and collaborating with the rest of the school and becoming part of the school, what school counselors should know is that nationwide PE classes and the health aspect of schools is going through a major change right now. What was happening a couple of years ago is that more and more PE classes were being cut, or there was less time to be physically active. And so now a new shift has been done in which the health professionals in the school system are trying to not only have better lunches nutritionally, you know, for students, but to also be able to, throughout PE classes, to incorporate more information to students about nutrition. And so the first thing that school counselors need to do is to be involved with this new change that's going on in the school systems, maybe collaborating with PE teachers or coaches or the nurses or whoever is leading the health aspects of in their own school individually and working together with that. I know that as a school counselor, a lot of times it was difficult to see students and pull them out of class. And so I would go into the classrooms, and one of the greatest classrooms that you can go to is probably a PE class, because you have large classes and so you'll be able to impact more students. But they're having a lot of information that's been given to students throughout these classes and the physical aspect of that, having more sports, and so more money is given to schools to create and to maintain whatever sports goals they had or athletic type of programs that they had. And so being involved that way. going back into the same theme of collaborating, being able to maybe collaborate with even, you know, a literature class and being able to go into an English class. You're working with an English teacher and being able to give some literature and nutrition. And so you're incorporating two things. Okay, so maybe they have to write an essay, but can they incorporate that essay with some research as to the benefits of physical activity or the benefits of a good balanced nutrition? And so the more that you collaborate, the more that everybody has a role and becomes involved. I think that another way to reach more students as a school counselor is to be able to work in groups and being able to maybe develop more counseling groups. And so in a counseling group, if it's a psychoeducation group, you're able to then again give more information about physical activity and nutrition. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different ways. And I think that this is something that I always tell my students is probably if you have one good attribute as a counselor is that of creativity. And so as long as you're creative, you're able to integrate that information throughout a whole day of school. Just think of the class, and if you're creative enough, you can collaborate with anyone and integrate that.
Someone who's graduating from a master's program in school counseling and is incredibly excited about their job and what they're going to do, mm-hmm. It's very difficult for them to go into a school and all of a sudden collaborate with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So where would you suggest they start with the PE teachers first?
Yeah, I mean, you do have to know the kind of the culture of your school first and kind of see maybe who the best person to go to at that point. In some schools, it's easier than other schools. I think also utilizing the guidance that you get at the school board level. And there's always someone that is in the guidance of school counseling, the umbrella at the school board level, that will be able to help you out and let you know what this school has as a goal been integrated in nutrition and exercise or it has not. And so being able to get some guidance from that aspect. But being able to create a close relationship with your principal or vice principal, I think, is imperative. And they'll be able to tell you who at that school you can go to and collaborate with. I know that when I first started, it wasn't easy for me to start collaborating with PE teachers. Even though I had a background as an athlete and all that, their program was run with someone that had been there for 30-something years, and she had her own ideas about that. And so I started with the literature teacher. We collaborated that way. And so you never know, I guess, where it is that you'll be able to establish a good relationship. I also think that being part of the school is really important. If you're a high school counselor and you're going to football games or going to parent night meetings and just being involved as much as you can, the first or 2 years you may not be able to accomplish the goals that you have individually as a professional, but you'll get there. And so if you're patient enough and you create a good bond or rapport with the school staff, then you should be good.
So Dr. Oliva Fleming, when school counselors would like to integrate this information on exercise and nutrition that they have with the students and also with the faculty that they're collaborating with, mm-hmm. Where can they go to find specific information which will help them educate their students and also the faculty?
Mm-hmm. Well, the great thing is that right now the topic of nutrition and child obesity is really hot right now. And it actually started, and our former President Clinton started an alliance for a healthier generation. And you can go to www.americanheart.org. And you can also go to www.obesity.org. And the Bush administration has continued to give a lot of money for the initiation of research in both nutrition and exercise. And the Council of Physical Fitness and Sports is something that's also supporting, again, sports and physical activities in the school system. So just throughout our government and then going into more specifically locally, the state of New Jersey, for example, is heading a huge initiative in physical activity and increasing PE time throughout the school day. And so that I think that you can start out nationally by going through those two websites I just gave you, but also regionally in your area, just seeing Even throughout your government or throughout the school board system and going through there. There's tons of researchers out there, and they're publishing a lot right now throughout the medical world too. And so you can incorporate just from different professions what's out there. And there's a lot of literature that's been given now to the school board to then give into the school. So it's something that you can get that information just about anywhere.
Well, we've talked about how counseling, especially in schools, needs to integrate exercise and nutrition into the counseling to help prevent childhood obesity. You're also a supervisor. How do you incorporate exercise and nutrition into your supervision with school counselors?
I think that that's been an interesting aspect of supervision and supervision of supervision. I've worked both with master level students and doctoral level students. And so one of the things that I do with my master's level students is I have them again go through what I would do with a client and have them define what is wellness to them and create goals. And I'll check with them throughout the semester that they're finding the support that they need to accomplish the goals that they have. And with doctoral students, being able to, again, supervise them as they're incorporating those wellness goals with their own students. And that's been quite interesting. One of the ways that I initiate the integration of wellness counseling is that we talk about burnout and burnout rates. And a lot of times for our master level students, if they are not knowledgeable about the percentage of burnout within our profession, then you know they're just not going to be able to create the tools that they need to stay healthy and to stay in the profession. We initiate talks about wellness and their own wellness and how to support that by also integrating a lot of research as to burnout, and that this is a different type of profession. And that emotionally, you know, you put a lot into your own clients. And so if you're not able to have whatever tools that you need to stay healthy, then, you know, your chances of being a happy counselor, a healthy one, are going to be limited.
So it's not just a matter of school counselors introducing nutrition and exercise into their school and working with faculty, but it's also using exercise and nutrition themselves in order to stay physically and mentally healthy.
Exactly. It's been interesting for me as a profession to be able to see some of the difference of incorporating this theory with students at K through 12 and then being able to incorporate that with future counselors, and how little we ourselves maintain ourselves healthy. And that for a lot of counselors, people that have 30 plus years of experience, forgetting that we have to maintain ourselves healthy, and that in order to be a better professional, that we need to say as we do.
And provide a good model for the students as well.
Yeah, definitely. I know that, you know, this is my first year in a new position. Everything that goes on with assuming a new position, it's been hard to keep myself healthy. And so I've had to myself create my own wellness goals and be able to sustain them and maintain them. But really the only way that you can do that is if you have someone else that is checking on you. That's your support system. It's very difficult to be able to say, well, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, exercise 3 times a week and I'm going to eat healthy. I mean, you have to get very specific, and you have to have someone that's going to be your soundboard, that's going to be able to support, you know, the goals that you have. And it can't always be your significant other or at home.
And that goes back to what we all tell our students and we all heard as students, is that counselors need counseling too.
Exactly.
And counselors need to seek other professionals as well as nutritionists when they're working on themselves. So just another aspect of self-care is to introduce that counseling as a support to help us meet our goals to stay physically and mentally healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that what I've seen with my own development professionally is now that I am an instructor, a professor, you're working independently a lot. And so unless you have good colleagues that you can work with, you feel pretty isolated. And so if you don't somehow create a support system for you, then again, you know, your chances of burnout are going to increase. And so being able to somehow, with whatever colleagues, you know, you have around you, being able to create, again, a healthy environment in which you yourself will stay healthy in.
Well, Dr. Oliva Fleming, I really appreciate you being here with us, counselaudiosource.net.
No, thank you. It was a pleasure.
You've just heard an interview with Dr. Verna Oliva Fleming regarding integrating nutrition in school counseling.
Look for previous podcasts, show notes, and listener feedback on the podcast website at counselaudiosource.net. Listeners can leave comments or questions for our interview guests or hosts through our Skype.com internet telephone ID, Counselor Audio Source, or by calling 330-871-4242. Counseling techniques and interventions discussed in the Counselor Audio Source broadcast are meant for use by counseling professionals, and Counselor Audio Source is not held liable for any use of the techniques mentioned in the program. Our music bed today is Memorial Day from Jamie Beauchamp. His and other PodSafe music can be found in the PodSafe Music Network at podshow.com. Counselor Audio Source is licensed under the Creative Commons, a nonprofit organization offering a flexible copyright for creative work.